We've been talking now for several weeks on the topic of faith. And just going verse by verse here through Hebrews chapter 11 and learning what we need to learn about our faith. Too many times we take Bible terms and we make it spooky. People talk about God's will, and like instantly you get an out of body experience of something weird. And God's will is just, it's right there in the Word of God. Just do what the Word of God says, and that's God's will for you. And faith kind of has that same thing. There's so many weird teachings out there on faith. So many religions use the word faith in an unbiblical way. I think it was last week I gave the illustration of this group that are called the Faith Word Movement. Your Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, and a bunch of those other guys that they have a lot of good practical stuff, but their theological stuff is completely heretical. It's completely dangerous. You know, people want to talk about T.D. Jakes, and he doesn't even believe in the Trinity. And so we got to be careful. I got a phone call yesterday. A guy that I had moved a couple years ago had my cell phone number, and he called me and he said, "I'm going to be moving to Philly in March, and I still have your number, and I want you and your crew to come down and move me in and all that kind of stuff." And he said, When you moved me last time, we had a conversation about Billy Graham." And I thought, oh boy, I know that wasn't a good one. And he said, "You shared some things with me that Billy Graham believed and said." And he said, "I didn't believe you, so I called up the Billy Graham headquarters or whatever, and everything you said was exactly true." He said, "So I wrote them a letter and said, you guys need to shut your doors and quit claiming to be ministers of the Word of God because you're a bunch of liars." And I said, "Go get them, man. Go get them." And it's amazing how many people just, you know, we don't pay attention. So the word faith can get destroyed, can get muddied, because we just kind of apply it to anything. We want to be careful. We want to, you know, we want our faith to increase. D.L. Moody, and I shared this during Sunday school this morning, and a few weeks ago, D.L. Moody made the statement, "I prayed for God to give me faith, and my faith never grew. I started to get in the Word of God consistently and regularly, and my faith grew like tremendously." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. You want your faith to increase, get in the Bible. That is what strengthens your faith. The church doesn't strengthen your faith. The preacher doesn't strengthen your faith. You might think I do if I encourage you. All I'm doing is encouraging you. But if you want your faith to increase, the Word of God is doing what God says, even if you don't see and understand it. Folks, and I talked about this last week, when we make decisions based on our sight and what we can understand and what we can comprehend, that's not a faith-based decision. And the Bible tells us, we read it, and here in Hebrews 11, verse 6, the very first phrase is, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." You cannot please God. You can do all kinds of things that you think please God, but if they're not done by faith, God's not pleased. And a lot of times we do things that are right things to do, but there's no faith behind it. We just do it for whatever. God says without faith, it can't be done. It's impossible. We talked about that last week, so I'll get into that. Verse 7, Hebrews 11, verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Tonight I want to talk to you on this topic, the protection of faith. The protection of faith. Let's pray. Lord, Father, as I look back just on today, Lord, what a blast, Lord. What a blessing it's been to be in church today. Amen. Father, the victories that many have seen in their lives today, Lord, the growth, the conviction, the change, the desires. Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. Lord, the opportunity, Lord, just to sing and worship you tonight, Father, and Lord, just feel free, Lord, just to talk about how wonderful and how amazing you are. Father, as we're looking, Lord, as a church, to take on several new missionaries that are going to go out and preach the gospel all around this world. Father, as close as Hoboken, New Jersey, the Lord only has now with Brother Rizzo there one independent Baptist church. Father, so many other countries, Lord, that we're looking to support. Father, I pray, Lord, that we'd be faithful at that. Lord, now as we open the Word of God tonight, Lord, pray that we would search our hearts, search our minds. Father, we beg you, desire of you, Lord, to see our faith increased. Lord, I pray it wouldn't just be a lecture. Father, I pray, Lord, that it would be something, Lord, that we could apply to our hearts, Lord, and put into practice right away. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're called to live by faith. I think we sang it tonight. I could be wrong. Living by faith. No, it was Thursday night. Living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in His great love. That's what the Bible tells us. We're commanded to live by faith. If somebody was to walk up to you and say, prove to me that you live by faith, would you be able to answer that question or that statement? Would you be able to explain to them as a believer how you live by faith? Because we're commanded to live by faith, not by sight. Could I as a Christian, if we were to stand before God right now, explain to God and prove to God, God, I live by faith. We're called to, and for some reason we're called to live by faith because faith allows us to please God. That's what it says here in this verse 6. Faith allows us to see God provide. Faith allows us the opportunity to testify of God's goodness. Nisa's testimony tonight, just trusting God and going forward, and God opens doors and God blesses along the way. Faith brings God glory and pleasure through our lives. And faith also, though, it supplies the individual with an important and irreplaceable benefit. Protection. Protection. Your faith ought to, and it would, if we would propagate it the right way and believe it the right way, it would protect us. Have you ever thought about your faith as your protection? Reminds me of a woman who opened the door of a building. She was just about to step outside when she heard a voice saying, "Don't take that next step or you'll regret it." And she paused, and just as she paused, a brick came crashing down to the pavement right where she would have taken that next step. She looked around and there was nobody nearby. The next day, the same woman was about to step into the street when she heard that same voice again say, "Don't take that next step or you'll regret it." Boy, just as she paused again, a truck came racing by and smashed into a nearby vehicle. Would have hit her. She knew if she had listened to that voice, she would have been hurt badly or maybe even killed. She looked behind her and around her. Nobody there. "All right," she said, "who are you?" And the voice responded, "I'm your guardian angel." And the woman said, "Oh, if that's the case, where were you on my wedding day?" You see, as you and I hear and believe and respond to the Word of God by faith, we're protected from the evils around us. A lot of times we don't even realize it. God provides Noah's testimony here in verse 7 to kind of undergird this truth of our faith protecting us. Don't lose your spot here. We're going to turn to a couple of scriptures tonight. You're in Hebrews 11. Go back to all the way to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. If you're not sure where Genesis is, go to the table of contents. It's right next to it. Genesis chapter 6. Verse Genesis chapter 6, look at verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and of the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a man of God. And here in Genesis chapter 6, God surveys the world. And in God's words here, he was so upset and disappointed at the evil of mankind, God said, I'm wiping everything out. I'm wiping everyone out. But God found Noah to be a uniquely righteous man in that day and age. God, you know the story, ordered Noah to build an ark. The ark was about 3 football fields long. It was huge. It was a really, really big boat. God told him to build that ark, and he did so, and saved his entire family. Because of Noah's faith, his entire family was protected. Because of Noah's faith, his entire family was saved alive and spared. Faith in God will not only protect your life, but it'll also protect those who trust you if you're living by faith. See, there's an opposite view of that, and that's Lot. And Lot, who was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels came to Lot and said, get your family out of here, God's going to destroy it. And Lot believed it. But Lot went to his family and said, God's going to wipe out this city, we need to get out of here. And they laughed at him. His children didn't believe him. His own wife, Bible says, turned around and looked back at the city. Turned to a pillar of salt. Here's a man who didn't live the faith that he said he believed in, and his family wasn't protected because of it. Psalm 119 verse 117 says, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Living by faith, or living through faith, provides you and I, if we're saved here, the bearer, with 2 unprecedented forms of protection. So if you make the decision today that you're going to be that believer that lives by faith, there are 2 forms of protection that God says, based on your faith, and we'll see here in Scripture, based on your faith, this is how I will protect you. Number 1, God's Word warns us of unseen dangers. God's Word warns us of unseen dangers. You're in Genesis 6, go back to chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. There's not a man till the ground, but the phrase there, God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. We talk about rain because we know what it is. When God said, Noah, it's going to rain, Noah said, it's going to what? It's going to rain. I don't understand what you're saying. Who's going to rain? No, it's going to rain. What is that? It's when I unleash the firmament and all the water. I don't understand what you're talking about. He had no idea what rain meant. He had no idea. Talk about faith. God went to Noah and told him in Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 4, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. God knew of the danger on its way, follow me now, but Noah couldn't see it. Noah didn't have AccuWeather. I mean, it's so cool now on your, if you have an iPhone, I mean, you can follow maps and radars and see things moving across and gives you the weather for the day. You know, most of us, we're so excited about Wednesday because it's going to be 60 degrees. And then the next day it's going to be 10 and we're all going to have the flu again. It's going to be great. God knows of the dangers in the world around us, and He's warned us about them in the Word of God. Hey, if you're saved here tonight, you pay attention to the Word of God. What's going on in this world should not come as a shocker to you. Oh, Obama got reelected. What are we ever going to do? What we've always done. Trust God.
Amen.
Trust God. Well, I don't know about, what about this and the dollars crashing and now, trust God. Look, you have this show on TV called Doomsday Preppers. If you're saved, you're not going to be here. The only thing I'm prepping for is the rapture. That's just called getting a running start so I can jump higher and beat Glenn up there.
That's why I'm losing weight. I want out of here.
I'm so competitive, I want to be the first one in the clouds. But it takes faith to believe and trust and act upon these warnings. We see what the Word of God says, and we want to follow what the Word of God says. And by the way, it takes just as much faith to believe in what anyone else wants to believe. It takes faith to become a doomed. I watched the episode the other day. Some guy built this truck. He spent something like, I don't know, what was it, like $300,000 to put together this truck that has all this stuff on it. And he's, you know, showed his daughter where she's going to sleep and something like $20,000 worth of cameras all mounted to it and all these weapons, all this kind of stuff. And I thought to myself, what are you doing to get a flat tire? Then you're not going anywhere. All that money for that? And they're going to come, break in, take all your food anyway. So it doesn't matter. They do all this weird. You know, I'm so glad I don't have to worry about putting tin foil on my head and hiding in a bunker somewhere. Saran wrapping my house. What's the worst thing that could happen, Glenn? What's the worst thing that could happen? We die and we go to heaven. Wow, that's really bad. Yeah. So I'm not going to worry about that. What hidden dangers has God, through His Word, already warned us about? Well, let's look at a couple of them. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. Again, faith in God and in His Word warns us of unseen dangers. That's protection. Protection is knowing the danger that's in front of me so I can avoid it. What are some of these dangers God warns about? Well, the first one is found here in 1 Peter 5. Be warned of the tempter. Be warned of the tempter. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, don't panic there, because the very next verse tells us how to take care of that danger. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The devil is real. The devil is a living and a powerful creature, and he works very hard to lead this world into believing that he's not real. It's a joke, the devil made me do it, ha ha ha. He's all red with a pitchfork and a pointy tail and yellow fangs and horns on his head. Where do we get that from? Read your Bible. Just go back to the book of Genesis. It's one of the most subtle beasts of the field. He is what I would call a car salesman. A smooth talker. Sneaky. And the book of Ezekiel talks about how he's covered with the finest stones and gems. And when he speaks about, talks about, his pipes are like a symphony orchestra. That's why music has such a strong hold on people today, because the devil knows how to get to them. He knows all about music. And we get this idea that the devil's not real, we don't got to worry about it, and all that kind of stuff. That is a lie, and the Bible warns us, be sober. That doesn't mean don't be drunk, it means be serious. It means quit taking life like it's a joke and just worrying about entertaining yourself. You know, this video game mentality, not being involved. The average American today don't have a clue what our government's even doing to us. We're dumber than about, we're more worried about who's in the Super Bowl next week than the 1,000 plus executive orders that Obama keeps putting past Congress that we're not even paying attention to. We don't call our elected officials, we don't find out anything that's going, we don't pay attention to it. And you even realize the very liberties that we're losing as Americans, and one day we're going to be like, it's all gone. Well, yeah, duh, because you were more interested in Jersey Shore than you were in the Word of God. Be warned, those of us that decide we want to live by faith, we're going through this book going, God, please keep me, Lord, from the dangers that are in front of me. Protect me. And God says, good, be sober, be vigilant, be on the lookout, be aware, pay attention. We're given the tools that are necessary to avoid and overcome the devil. Don't tell me the devil can beat you up all the time, because there's something wrong with that. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Right.
So either by faith going to believe the Bible, or we're not, and we're going to lose. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will what?
Flee
from you. I'm afraid too many people today give the devil an open door into their lives. Ephesians says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. The devil doesn't need this big thing, the devil just needs a crack. He'll kick that bad boy wide open. He'll come in through some insignificant, stupid little comment or little conversation, and before you know it, you got people ready to kill each other, because he's taking a little bit, and he goes with it. Be warned of the tempter. Let me also say, be warned of temptation. You know the passage well in James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God's not going to tempt you with something evil. Doesn't do that. This is how it works. The Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So what does that mean? That means you yield to the temptation when you take your desires and you put them together with opportunity. That's enticement. You take that lust and you take that opportunity and you put that desire and that opportunity together, and now you have temptation. And if we're not careful, the Bible says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So God tells us how to be warned of the temptation. In 1 Peter 4:2, it tells us that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So in order to deal with temptation, we have got to learn to deal with our own lusts. Now, what you desire and what you lust after to fulfill your flesh may not be the same as somebody else, but nonetheless, it is your lust. And our flesh craves it, and our flesh desires it, and God says you have a choice. You can go ahead and follow the lusts of man, or you can follow the will of God. Be warned of the temptation. We need to look at those things that we're desiring, and we need to put them in a prioritizing manner and say, does God want me to have that? And why am I going to go crazy and sin and do stupid things just to get something that I shouldn't have? Again, if I'm going to live by faith, then the Bible is going to protect me from being tempted for something that I know doesn't measure up with this book. Temptation is common to each of us. The Bible teaches that. And thankfully, it's something that God warns us about in the Bible. But the question is, what will you do with that warning? A warning light helps if you do something because of the warning light. If your oil light comes on and you do nothing about it, you're going to have a blown engine. Heed the warnings that God gives you. God says in 1 Corinthians 10, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear. So if you're dealing with temptation, I just can't get victory. I just can't get away from this temptation. You are admitting God's not faithful. You are admitting or declaring that God is a liar. If there's a temptation that you're dealing with and you can't get victory over it, it's because you're not relying on Him to get victory over it. You're trying to do it in your own strength. May I go back to this morning's message and the series, Battles That Are Bigger Than You? It's not a temptation if it's not there. A lot of stuff we get tempted with, we leave right in front of us all the time, and then we wonder why we fall. You put a big old fat juicy steak in a room with a dog and close the door and just say, "Now don't eat that," and you leave the room, that dog's going to enjoy that steak. He may actually bite your hand as you're trying to put it on the floor. Yeah. And we're so foolish because we think, well, I'm saved, so I can handle the temptation. No, you can't. No, you can't. Jesus tried to warn Peter of the coming temptation. Following the Last Supper, the disciples were making their way out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus told them that was to matter. Let's look at it. Go over to Matthew 27. Oh man, all this turning in the Bible. Such a horrible thing. We have to go to church and use our Bibles. What were we thinking? Some of you are going to get carpal tunnel. This is the most you've turned pages in your Bible in a long time. Matthew chapter 27, look at verse 31. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. I don't even know if that's the passage I wanted to read. That is a good one. I was going to keep reading whether it was the one or not. Here we go. It's one chapter back, 26. Hey, you're really mad at me for turning your Bible. It's not even the right one. Matthew 26, 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." There's Peter. Foot in his mouth. Peter had a foot-shaped mouth, because he was always putting his foot in it. 34, Jesus saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." But notice here, most people don't pay attention to the rest of this verse. Likewise said all the disciples.
Yeah, that's right.
We pick on Peter all the time. All the disciples said, "We won't deny you." You ever catch that verse before? They all said it. Peter said, "Not me, Lord." So in order to prepare Peter for his temptation that was going to happen immediately, Jesus takes him into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, hoping that the prayer time would kind of secure his heart. Am I in the right chapter here? Make sure I got the right one here. Yeah, same chapter, 26, look at verse 40. "And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In other words, Jesus was saying, don't take for granted that you're going to automatically be prepared for temptation. We think that. Ah, I go to an independent, fundamental, soul-winning, separated, God-loving, God-fearing, devil, 8-foot stopping, barstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling, roof-ripping, finger-pointing, spit-shooting, King James-only Baptist church. I mean, bless God, bring on the temptation. You're an idiot. No. There's nothing about you or me that has us marked as can handle all temptation. No. No. If anything, when you act like that, you know what you just put on yourself? A big old bullseye. And the devil goes, really? We'll see. See, a will to avoid temptation is not enough. I think all of us have that will. I'm going to be strong this week. We have that will. But if we don't have the discipline, we're not going to avoid it or forsake it. We're going to yield to it. Because Peter failed. It's a moment of dyslexia brought to you by Pastor Guy Beaumont. Because Peter failed to properly prepare himself for temptation, we know the result. It tells us in the same chapter, verse 74 and verse 75, look what happens. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. How many times have we sat in church or whatever and said, man, I want to be strong for God. And man, sometimes it's not within 24 hours, we fall flat on our face. Exactly what Peter did. Noah had to make this choice on a daily basis to avoid the temptation to sin, to compromise, to quit, to walk away from the task that God had given him. I mean, 120 years he spent building this ark. We talk about how hard it is to live for God just after a year. This man's building an ark for 120 years because for 120 years God said it's going to rain and didn't rain for 120 years. You ever do something for 120 years besides Glenn? No! 120 years. And he lived, according to Genesis 6, he lived during some of the most wicked days of the earth up to that time. Be warned, thirdly, of the consequences. Galatians 6:7, you know it well. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Beware of the consequences. Every act that we do in life is a seed. Every act. Picture it as a seed. And that seed is sown into the fields of our lives. And every day we're sowing seeds into our lives. See what I mean? Our actions. It's a plant. It's planting a seed. So it's not a matter of if we're sowing. It's a matter of what are we sowing. What seeds have you sown by your activities and your actions today? Yesterday? In the last 5 years? Think about the seeds you've sown. What kind of seeds do you scatter throughout your day? Why does it matter? Well, here's why it matters. Because the type of seed you sow is the type of fruit you bear. You have the privilege and you have the right to sow a seed, but keep in mind, the seed that you choose to sow, you do not have the right to what kind of fruit is born because of it. Now, again, this isn't karma. Christians should never use the word karma. We're not Buddhists or Hindus or whatever they are. We don't believe in karma. This is not the yin and the yang. This is not a mystical science or an Eastern religion. It is a fact from the Word of God. You reap what you sow. And the very next verse, Galatians 6:8 says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If I sow an orange seed, what am I going to get? An orange tree. I'm not going to get an apple seed and get an orange tree. I'm going to reap what I sow. If I sow an arm seed, will I ever get a coconut tree? No, because I didn't sow those seeds. You're never going to reap a righteous life by going to the clubs.
Amen.
You're never going to reap a righteous life at the bars.
That's right.
By speaking foul language, by bearing an angry and an abusive attitude. You're never going to bear righteous life, reap a righteous life, by listening to worldly music or watching movies that you shouldn't be watching. You reap what you sow. Let me touch on an example here. God's Word, again, we're talking about protection. God's Word commands us to abstain from sexual relationships outside of marriage.
Right.
Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. There's nothing that says, God, judge me by getting involved in sexual lifestyles that are contrary to the Word of God. You're inviting the judgment of God. You're asking Him to judge you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And then he explains in verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. It's not rocket science. If you ain't married, keep your hands to yourself. If you are married, keep your hands to your own spouse. If we sow obedience, we reap protection. Protection from God's judgment, protection of our in our minds of sexual comparisons, protection from suspicion, providing trust, protection from fear and peace of mind. Protection from sexually transmitted diseases. You sow to the Spirit, you bear the fruit of the Spirit. You sow to the flesh, you're in trouble. Every time. Quickly, be warned of condemnation. I won't even get out my second point tonight. I'll save that for next week. I'll finish up with this first point. Be warned of condemnation. The word condemnation means an adverse sentence. The verdict, to judge against, to sentence, to condemn. The world was being judged and sentenced by God because of their deeds. God warned Noah, and the Bible says that Noah warned the world. We don't have time to turn there. I'll read to you. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. In other words, God told Noah, build an ark, and God will protect him. And he did. Now what happens is, now you have Noah turning around for 120 years preaching. Austin, sit down. Preaching. And Noah's preaching, and now everyone around him has an opportunity to get in the ark. But none of them did. They all ignored Noah. And the Word of God warns us about the penalty that you and I will face for our sin. Goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. For by one man, Romans 5:8, sin entered into the world. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We are born sinners. God provided a way out of that condemnation. You know Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, we have warnings. And God's word, if I'm going to live by faith, helps me to be aware of the dangers that are ahead of me. I can avoid the temptation by doing what the Word of God says. I can avoid the tempter himself by doing what the Word of God says. I can avoid bad consequences by making sure I'm planting good seed. You're not going to live wickedly and get blessings because of it. God has a zero track record of blessing disobedience. So as long as you want to keep doing what you want to do, you're going to keep ruining the benefits of those horrible choices. Faith will protect you. If I'm in the Word of God, I say, wow, the Word of God says that. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and do what the Word of God says. I'm going to trust God's Word. Even though I may not see it all. God, it's going to rain? Yes, Noah, it's going to rain. Well, what do you want me to do? I want you to build an ark. Here's the dimensions. Here's how I want you to build it. Here's what I want you to do. Okay, God. Hey, Noah, what are you doing? Building an ark. Why? It's going to rain. What's that? Water's going to come down. God's going to destroy everything. Yeah, okay, Noah. Let me give you a modern day example. Hi, my name's Guy Beaumont. I'm from the Harvest Baptist Church. And we're just out visiting the neighborhood, visiting the area, inviting people out to our church services. And we would really like to extend an invitation to you. Here's one of our cards. Well, that's great. Thank you. Thank you. Well, let me ask you a question before I leave. If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Or do you have some doubts about that? I'm not interested in any of that. Really? That's exactly what Noah felt like. Mm-hmm. There's danger coming. The Bible says this earth, you can go ahead and save Mother Earth all you want. The Bible says it's going to be burnt with a fervent heat and shall be no more.
Yeah, that's right.
You can hug all the trees you want. I would go ahead and do what God says. You can go ahead and trust the scientist. I'll trust God. You can go ahead and trust the evolutionists and the theologian and the professors in our colleges that mock you for believing in God. Okay. I'll go ahead and believe God. We'll see who's right in the end. What seeds are you sowing? God warns you of the consequences of accept Christ if you're not saved and avoid the condemnation. Obey God and avoid the consequences. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If I can get, oh, my wife's back there, right? Oftentimes, it's actually humorous now anymore. People always think that I'm a lot younger than I am. I tell people I'm going on 40 years old and they do not believe me. I regularly get people that think that I'm in my mid to late 20s. I love it. They say, what in the, how? How do you look so young and you pastor a church and you're going to have 5 children? How are you not losing all your hair? Very easy. I decided a long time ago that I was going to make decisions based on God's word and not on what the world thinks. And I honestly believe that that has kept me somewhat youthful because I'm not stressing about it. I don't look over my shoulder at 60 million regrets of horrible decisions that I've made just to satisfy the flesh. Your faith can protect you if you'd let it. And maybe you've made bad choices in the past, but why don't you decide today? Just on this easy first point, there's so many dangers out there. Won't you just trust God's word? Just trust God's word. And do what he says. Some of us complicate our lives so much unnecessarily. Let's just go ahead and get a clamor-free life by just doing what God's word says. God, I'm trusting in your word to protect me. I want to know about the temptations. I want to be warned of them, be warned of the tempter, be warned of the consequence. I want to be warned of those things, the condemnation. Well, to God, we would tonight make some decisions tonight to ask God to give us that confidence, that faith in God, like Noah had, to keep us from a lot of trouble. Piano begins to play. The Lord spoke into your heart tonight in this area of faith. The protection of faith. God offers a faith that will protect.